machine's going.
Trying to find a repair guy to repair that machine so I don't have to do these twice every night, so I can run it right on the DVD. But the DVD quit working. Anyway, 5 and verse 10.
Who does that kind of work? Nobody does.
Hardly anybody. That's why I haven't got it fixed yet. The new ones don't do what that one does. That one will record from the same input, VHS and DVD at the same time. And it really works. It does a good job, but it's wore out. It needs some repair. It needs a burner or something in it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, 5 and verse 10. We've got some real interesting words. Real interesting words this week. Pros a go ru thes. Hipo to theu. Archaeus kata tain toxin. Melchizedek. Just like it is in English, all right? Melchizedek. Now, the cross references to this are Hebrews 2:17, 5 and 5, 5 and verse 6, John 1, 6 through 12, and 1:29 through 34, Psalm 23, Psalm 110, verse 4, Genesis 14 and verse 8. These are all cross references to this verse right here. To this verse. Pros sago riuthes. That's a long word. Sounds like a whole sentence, doesn't it? What in the world does it mean? Alright. Plutarch used this word. It's only used one time in the New Testament, by the way. This is it. Whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews was very, very acquainted with the Greek classics. Now, who would have been raised in Alexandria, Egypt, where all the Greek classics were constantly read and discussed? Who?
Apollos.
Apollos is probably the most probable writer of the book of Hebrews. We're going to go into some other places. We know that the whoever wrote the book of Hebrews knew very, very little Hebrew. Whoever was the writer of the book of Hebrews was probably what we call a Hellenistic Jew. What does Hellenistic Jew mean? Remember what that means? All right. Hellenistic. Helles is Helen. Helen of Troy, you know. All right. Helles is the real name for Greeks. They call it, they are Helles. All right? Hellenistic Jew would be a Greek-educated Jew. They used the Septuagint, the LXX. Remember that LXX. You remember that when you see it. Wherever you go, wherever you see LXX. That means Septuagint. Jesus taught more from the Septuagint. It was like using the King James Version 50 years ago. I'm telling you, 50 years ago, hardly anybody used the King James Version except some old landmark Baptist. The only ones that didn't do it back then. They'd be reading from Greek just like they did 1,000 years ago. Okay? But they used the King James Version was the most common version of the Bible 50 years ago. And during Jesus' time, the Septuagint was the most common Old Testament there was. All right? Of course, there wasn't a New Testament, was there? It hadn't been given yet. All right? Prosaguriethes. This word here is nominative, singular, masculine, first aorist, participle, and passive. First aorist, what does that mean? What kind of action is that? Punctiliar. Very sharp, point time action. Present tense is something that goes like this. It's a continuous action. Imperfect tense is basically like this. Keeps on handling. Actually, the present tense is something that would go like this. We're in present. From here to here. Okay? Not a circle. Imperfect would be more like this. Kept on being. And this one is just, I go. I go. I go. I just keep on going. All right?
I kept on going is the imperfect tense, and punctiliar action is I went.
That's the kind of action it is. All right. Now we're going to find out here something was done. This is an old word, comes from pros, okay, and agurio. If you want to look that up on in the analytical Greek lexicon, it's on page 346. And if you look it up in Liddell and Scott, it is on page 13 and 14. All right? And you have to look up the word agurio, okay? Not prosagurio. Now, this word has a whole idea behind it. This is not just something you can just say, I translate it having been designated, okay? But it means more than that, all right? It means to introduce legally, okay? To introduce legally. It means to nominate. It means to appoint. But all of these things, if it means to introduce legally, it means this person was introduced before a public crowd or assembly. And it was done legally, okay? We have a president. When he took the office, he took the oath and he became the president, okay? And how was this done? How was it done? Did you get a... Yeah, I mean, you could watch it on television, couldn't you? All right? Same thing the second time around and all this stuff, and we're going to have another one here, and they're going to... They are selling tickets to this thing. There's going to be thousands of tickets to it. But what kind of affair is it? It's a public affair. And when they do this, then he becomes legally the president, doesn't he? From that point of time on, he is the president. That's it. It's done. This is the term right here. That's the term. This is the very term. It means to publicly appoint during an assembly so that people can legally attest to this having happened. All right? When you adopt somebody, you go down to the court and you publicly adopt them. I don't know what... Maybe you have seen adoption, I don't know. But you go down and you go before a judge and people say, yes, yes, all this goes on. And they publicly do this and it is a public record. That's what this term means right here. This means having been designated, introduced, nominated legally and publicly. Now let's just talk about Jesus' life. It's talking about Jesus, isn't it? All right? How many Gospels do we have? Well, how many Gospels do we have? How in the New Testament, how many Gospels? Can you name them? Huh? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you? It tells you about the ministry of Jesus Christ, His birth, and basically His death. And His ministry. All right? Now, go to John. John 1, 6 through 12. John 1, 6 through 12. The Gospel according to John. Alright? Now this word only right here. That's what we're talking about. Pros agurustes. Are you over there, Randall? John 1?
John 1, 6.
Yeah. Are you over there too, Rebecca? You're there too. Why don't you read the first part of that, Rebecca. John 1, and starting with verse 6 through 12, and then Randall, we're going to get you 29 through 34.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to
bear. Okay, hold on there. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. It names him, doesn't it? Why did he come? As a witness. That's this term right here. That's what it's talking about. Okay, go on now.
This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
All right. Now that word, having been designated, that's what the term means. Legally, he was witnessed to, it was sworn, and it was publicly, and we have four Gospels. And the Old Testament law says, by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. All right? Brother Randall.
29?
Yes, 29.
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, After me comes a man who is higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water.
Is that number 34?
34. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.
Well, now, that's this word right here, the first word in this verse. Okay? By the way, who sent him?
God.
Who did he say sent him? God. All right. That's simple. Now, he's designated, he's appointed, he is nominated, he is introduced legally and permanently. Hepho means what? By the agency of, you can look that one up on page 417 if you want to write that one down. Hepho. By the agency of the to theou. Now, this doesn't say theou, it says to theou. What does to there mean? Huh? The God. Not a God, but the God. When you say in Spanish, adios, what does that mean?
With God.
Huh?
With God.
Huh? It means goodbye, but it means God be with you. Dios. Alright? Alright, let's look at that Dios. Dios is a Greek word. Did you know that? But we're not talking about Dios, we're talking about Theos. Alright? Deity comes from the word Dios. Alright? Deity. But we have the word Theos here. Now, Jesus isn't a deity, he is God. Alright? He is the Almighty God. To Theou, by God, designated Arcadius. Arcadius. Alright? Erius is what? A race? Huh? Erius. No, it's Aretz. Aretz is what you're thinking about in Hebrew. This is Greek. Okay? We got to keep the Greek. And then, an archaic. What if something's archaic? It's old or head. It means the head of. It said that Jesus was the firstborn in one place in King James, but in the original language it means the head of it. All right, the first head, the head. He is the high priest, Archeres, or Archereus. He is the high priest, the head priest. How many high priests were there in Israel at a time? How many was appointed high priest?
One.
Uno. One. Not una mas, one. All right, one. One high priest got to walk in there in that tabernacle. Okay? High priest according to the kata tain toxin. This is a kind of a cute word. How about the word taxi in Greek? What about the word taxi? What does the word taxi mean? Taxi. We got a word in English that comes right out of Greek. Did you know it's called taxi? When you need a taxi, you need it what?
Transportation.
In a hurry. Fast transportation, all right? Taxi. That's where that word came from, all right? Now, here's a word that's kind of related to it. It means fixed. All right? Toxin. It is fixed, all right? It means fixed in order. It is a final order, and it is fixed, okay? Permanently fixed, all right? According to the permanently fixed order of Melchizedek. What about Melchizedek? Let's go back to the book of Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14 now. Genesis chapter 14, the first book in the Bible. And where do we get that name? What Greek word does Genesis come from? Barashith is in Hebrew. What Greek word? Genesis. It doesn't come from Barashith. Ginomai. All right, Ginomai. That's where it comes from. Means to become or to bring into being. All right? We have our word Genesis. Genesis, the 14th chapter and verse 8. Are you there, Anna?
Yes.
Okay.
Then the rebel kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboram, and Bela of Zoar prepared for battle in the valley of the Dead Sea.
Okay, keep on going there.
They fought against King...
Read real loud now.
They fought against King Kedorlaomer of Elam, King Tidal of Goan, King Aramphel of Babylonia, and King Ariath of Elasar. Four kings against five. As it happened, the valley of the Dead Sea was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into the tar pits while the rest escaped into the mountains. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and the food supplies. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew who lived in Sodom, and carried off every thing he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram, the Hebrew who was living near the oak grove, belonging to Mamre the Amorite, Mamre and his relative Eshel.
Okay, where's Mamre? Huh?
Where's Mamre?
Uh-huh. Where is this, all of these places, the kings of Mamre? Go back up there, that's Hebron, and all the way up and through that way, okay? That's where it came from. Now, this is Abraham. Now, who's in trouble here? What cities are in trouble? Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, God destroyed these later, didn't he? Did they know about God? Did Sodom and Gomorrah know about God? Did they? They knew about God. All right, God delivered them one time. We're going to find that out. And then what did God do to the rascals? Destroyed them. Wiped them off the face of the earth because of their ungodliness. Okay, go ahead there, Anna. Anna.
Mamre and his relatives Eshel and Aner were Abram's allies. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. Then he pursued Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Kedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and their captives.
So God delivered them through Abraham. He delivered all these rascals that... Now, they were going to be ungodly rascals later on, but he gave them a chance. He delivered them, and they knew the power of God, didn't they? All right, now let's go on a little further.
After Abram returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God's Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered. Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from which what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say I am the one who made Abram rich. I will accept only what my young warriors have already eaten, and I request that you give a fair share of all the goods to my allies, Aner, Eshel, and Mamre.
All right. There we have. And what did he do? He gave a tithe. to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. What does Melchizedek mean? What does Melchizedek mean? Do you remember? My king of righteousness. All right. Now, it says in the New Testament, in several different places, it talks about Melchizedek. All right. It talks about how that he was didn't have a beginning or end. There was no recorded beginning of him and no recorded end of him. Okay? Now, many people, theologians, think that this was pre-incarnate Christ. I don't know whether it was pre-incarnate Christ or not, but he stood for the Christ to be. He stood for Jesus. All right? He stood. All right? He was a priest. Okay. Now, we don't have just the deity appointing Jesus as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that was eternal. But we have the God of heaven doing this. Now, 5 and verse 11. 5 and verse 11. We have a warning against apostasy all the way from 5, 11 through 14. Warning against apostasy. What does apostasy mean? Remember, Brother Bill, we talked about this word apostasy. What does that mean?
That means you can't go back and get saved as
unto another. No. Okay, apostasy, Brother Mike.
Falling away.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, falling away from grace.
Yeah.
Apostasy. Okay? The book of Hebrews is written to whom? Who's it written to?
The
Hebrew Christians. Some people think that it was written to the Essenes or the Qumranians, which left us the Dead Sea Scrolls. Many of those people were saved, and they were converted by the preaching of John the Baptist, but they had a hard time leaving behind the Judaistic principles and ceremonies that they had. All their washings and all, and we're going to talk about all the wash. They had so many baptisms, they baptized everything. They baptized, had each other baptized two or three times a day. This is throwing a little bit of historical fact in there, but when they went and had a bowel movement or went to the bathroom, they had to go get baptized. They considered themselves unclean, so they had to get baptized again. Anytime they ate, they went and got baptized. And baptism is called washing, okay? And that's what whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews talked about. It talks about all the washings and all this kind of junk. And they just went overboard with it, okay? The Jews, they washed their hands ceremonially so many minutes, and they washed each finger on each hand and all this kind of stuff. This was all the ceremonial things. And a lot of that, the Essenes did also. Some of these people were glad to hear about Jesus and hear the gospel of repentance and all of this, but they had to go back to that. They couldn't get out of that stuff. They couldn't get out of it. They were involved in it. They were seeped in it. And so many Jews, even after they're saved, they want to keep the Passover again. The Lord, our Passover, was one time. All right?
Jim, when you get so far into an apostate state, you can't go back, right? I mean, God won't accept you back.
Well, the Lord told these Hebrews, now that you've tasted of the truth, you've tasted the truth. All right? You know the Lord of glory. You know who He is. He's the high priest at the order of Melchizedek. You don't have to do any of these. All of these ceremonies pointed to Him. And if you leave the Lord and go back to that, what sacrifice do you have?
Does that mean if you could?
Yeah. If you do, if they went back into Judaism, if they as Jews went back into Judaism, evidently they weren't saved. Really. And if they went back in there, what kind of sacrifice are they going to bring to God? Will they crucify themselves to the Lord Himself again and put Him to shame, crucifying Him again? What sacrifice do they have? Can they take a bull or a goat down there, a lamb, a turtle dove? What are they going to bring to God? Since God has sent Him His own Son as the sacrifice, what kind of sacrifice are they going to come with? They're going to put Him to shame again? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There is no sacrifice for sins when they do that. Is there? They can't. What are they going to do? When you have the ultimate sacrifice and you turn away from that, what do you have? you have nothing. You have condemnation. That's what you have. All right. Psalm 110, verse 4.
I'd just like to ask you to back up a little bit. So do you think that Melchizedek is Jesus Christ in this passage, or is it not?
It's a type. He's a type of. We know that he's a type of.
You don't think that it was a Christophany?
I won't say it wasn't. It's possible, but I don't really. I kind of doubt it to some extent.
The grammar in the whole chapter 5 does not support that.
It supported that Melchizedek was a type of he who was to come. We know that.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
it. That's fine. Okay. Whether he was literally the person. Was Aaron the high priest? Was he Jesus? Was Aaron Jesus?
No.
Was he a type of Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Melchizedek Jesus? Nobody knows. Who are the two witnesses of Revelation? Nobody knows. They can come up with all kind of conjecture, but we don't know. Was Melchizedek Jesus in the Old Testament? I don't know. It does not specifically. I think if he well, it just doesn't say enough about it. Go to Psalm 110 and verse 4. Psalm 110, verse 4. You could go your analytical lexicon and look up Melchizedek and go chase him every place in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Psalm 110, verse 4. Bill, are you there?
The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
According to the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek. Alright? What does that mean? It means eternal. Alright? It means eternal. Now this was Psalm 110. Is this before the New Testament? Alright? Now who is it talking about? This is what we call biblical prophecy. Okay? Now go back and let's read this verse again, and then have you got your Amplified Bible open over here someplace? And 5 and verse 10. Let's read that too. Now let's go back and read this from Greek. Okay? And then we're going to see what Amplified Bible says. Having been designated, introduced legally, appointed, sworn in publicly, okay, according to law, having been done, it's aorist tense, it only happened once, okay, participle, and passive voice, it was done, okay? When Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, hear Him. Isn't it? That was a public announcement, wasn't it? There was a group of people, there was an assembly there. Alright, there was assembly there. Alright, now, this first word verse, having been designated, introduced legally, publicly. By the way, Plutarch used this word quite a little bit. It's only used one time in the New Testament. By the agency of God, the God, not a God, not some other deity, the high priest, all right, the high priest according to the order, the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the order of it. It doesn't mean that Melchizedek was Jesus pre-incarnate. It doesn't say that. But it says, according to the order of Melchizedek. All right? The King of Righteousness are my King of Righteousness. That's what his name means. All right? Simple as that. I can't tell you any more than that. Because nothing, we don't know much about that one. That's something we don't know a lot of. We just don't have a lot of information about it. 5 and verse 11 now. 5 and verse 11. Perry? Who? Polis? Himen? Ho? Look at all those rough breathers in that verse right there, would you? Running. I mean, you're breathing hard in here. Perry? Who? Polis? Himen? Ho? Logos? Kai? Deseter Manutos? All right. Legain? Epe? Nofroi? Gegonete, tais, akues. All right. Now we got a bunch of deaf people around here. I am, according to my ears, 92% deaf. 92% deaf. But I hear sound by feeling. I feel it. Not with my ears, but with my body. I once took a man up in the mountains, and we went on a deer trail out there, and I knew where these deer were. And we spooked them. They hurt us because he was walking too heavy. And I heard them run, and I could see them going over there. I heard them run with my body, not my ears. I could feel the sound of them running in the forest. It sounded like thunder to me. It was real loud. And I said to the guy, boy, I said, do you hear them like that? And he said, what? I said, those deer. You know, like that. You know, of course, he said, no, I didn't see them, I didn't hear them. I said, you couldn't feel it? Them running. You know, I felt, you know, this is when I really realized I was feeling sound a lot. I wasn't hearing it, but I was feeling sound. When I go by some of these boom boom cars, it makes me sick. Because my body feels, it makes me nauseated. It really makes me sick at my stomach because it's too much feeling. I feel the sound too much. When I'm in the church, when I have too much boom boom in there, it makes me sick at my stomach. I can't stand the loud music, and I can't hear. But I feel it. All right? I feel it.
When people are hard of hearing, like me, you, Jim, it changes. Your body picks up stuff.
Yeah, it remanufactures.
Next to one of them cars, it changes.
Yeah.
It makes
my heart skip. My whole body just is a receptor. And so loud noises bother me. Anyway, concerning of whom much to us the word. All right. Did we read all of this already? Yeah, we did. Concerning of whom much to us. All right. Concerning who is a whom there. The whom is a relative pronoun. It's genitive singular. Now it could be masculine or neuter. But who is it here? This whom. Who is this whom? All right. Randall, are you ready to read number 10? And we're going to see who this whom is. All right.
Amplified,
yeah.
5 and 10?
Uh-huh. 5 and 10. And then we're going to go to 11. Okay.
5, 10.
Uh-huh. But just hold your place now when you read 10.
Being designated and recognized and saluted by God as high priest after the order with the rank of Melchizedek.
It didn't say he was Melchizedek, did it? It said the order of. All right. The order of. Now, what's the first word there, the first little bit in 5 and verse 11?
Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight.
Okay, now let's look at this verse. Of whom are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the order of Melchizedek. That's who we're talking about. Of whom? Masculine. Much to us, the word. And then it says, even, we could put a word and there, but it could mean even here also. Affirmatively, yes. Or even, yes, hard to interpret. Okay? Yes, hard to interpret. Just look at that. Now, say yes or even. Look at that. That's like a cumulative particle, or a particle of affirmation, this conjunction. If you want to look up on page 208, you'll read all about it. And then, diser minutos. That's quite a word right there. That's only used one time in the New Testament. It's an extremely rare word, and Philo uses it in his works. Philo, all right? That's a Greek writer. This word here is hard to interpret. 1 Corinthians 14:26, 12:10, 14:28 talks about this word. Okay? It talks about part of this word, but not the compound use of it like it is here. Okay? This hermeneutos. How many of you ever heard of the word hermeneutics? Hermeneutics. All right. This word comes from this and hermeneuo. Or hermeneutics. Our word hermeneuo. All right. Hermeneutics is what? What is the study of hermeneutics? The interpretation of the Bible. The hermeneutics of the Bible. The interpretation of the Bible. Okay. Interpretation. So here we have, we even had a Greek god named what? Hermes. All right. You go back there. If you want to look this up, you can look it up on page 166 in your analytical lexicon. And if you can get a hold of it, Liddell and Scott, it's on page 690 and 91. Okay? It's a very important word. It means hard to discern. Hard to discern. To unscramble. All right? To unscramble. Philo and Diodorus use this word. Hard to unscramble. What's hard for people to unscramble?
Names.
Huh? Yeah. That's like trying to unscramble eggs. How about algebra? How about trig? How about calculus? Geometry. Okay. No problem with that, huh? Well, I know he doesn't have any problem with it. He's got a degree in it. Bachelor's degree in science and mathematics. To him, probably be easy. But to me, it's all scrambled eggs. Okay? Now, to me, I can read Greek, and some people say, Greek is Greek to me. Well, Greek to me is how I think. If I think of a word, somebody called and asked me a question the other day about the Bible. And I said, I don't know what the word in English is, but it's in, let me look it up in Greek, and I'll tell you where it is. Okay? And I knew the Greek word, but I didn't know what the English word was. So I looked it up in Greek, and there it was. Couldn't think about it in English. I didn't know what it was in English. When I try to write on the board sometimes, I can't figure out how to put it down in English. Think about it in Greek. Explain it, but I...
That's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Or Hebrew. When you learn to think in Greek or in Hebrew, it's hard to bring it into another language. All right? Something that's hard to interpret, hard to unscramble. All right? The name Herman comes from this. Herman? You ever heard of it? There aren't very many people named Herman around today. What? What? Herman Munster?
Herman Munster.
I went to school with one Herman. In my life, one Herman. That's all.
I've known one Herman in my life.
Yeah, there aren't very many Hermans, but the name Herman comes from this name. Okay? Okay? He's learning how to preach back there. They gave somebody came in here on Sunday morning here Sunday, and said, what's this thing here for? I said, that's for my younger students. They said, what? I said, that's for my younger students in there. I said, time or 3 years old, they're going to be able to speak Greek. All right? He'll be, that's what you call induction. Learning by doing, listening to it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 28 and 12 and verse 10. Let's look at this and 14, 26. We need to go to 1 Corinthians and see. This is only part of the word, okay? This is a compound word, and this compound word is only used one time in the New Testament. We'll understand what it's talking about, though, okay? 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 12th chapter. All right. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Are you there, Randall? Yeah.
And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing of spirits.
Discerning.
Mm-hmm. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues.
All right. The discernment of languages. All right. That's languages.
When we read the word interpret or discernment in here, that's this word?
That's the word, part of it. This is a compound word. That Hermes, or hermeneuo, that's part of it. Now here it means, this word means un, or unable to unscramble the eggs. Okay? Marilyn, are you over there? 14, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Okay, turn over to 14 if you can there. 14 and verse 26. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
What is the outcome, then, brethren, when you assemble, each one has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
All right, that interpretation there, it means to be able to unscramble things. All right? You might have somebody in church back in those days. Remember, they went all over the world. The church was scattered all over the world at that time. The churches, I should say. And sometimes they would be speaking in some language that they didn't understand. But somebody would stand up and say, hey, I know how to do that. I can unravel this thing. So he just unraveled it. And he gave them what the guy said. He interpreted for them what he said. Brett. Edification? Well, you edify. You're building up the body. You edify the body. You build up the body. That's the purpose. The purpose of the Bible is to build you up. All right? We have the perfect edification now. The Bible.
So this verse is just simply saying, because you guys are thick in the head, you don't...
You cannot... Well, we're not finished with this verse yet. I mean, it gets real delicate down here. It's delicate matters. 28, Marilyn, are you there? Okay, if there's somebody in the church that says he has a revelation from God and he stands up and starts talking, if nobody knows how to interpret that language, sit down and shut up. Let him talk to himself. All right? Because this is not going to edify the body. All right. Let's go on now. Now, this hard to interpret here. All right? This hard to interpret word. De ser minutos. Legain. To say. And then since, epe, and then we have the word nothroi. Nothroi. What's nothroi mean? Huh? Look a little. I had a dog named Argo one time. And Argo was a real good dog. My friend had paid $10,000 training this dog. And he was a real good dog, but he was trained to be a show dog. And my friend, and what he was is he was a hunting dog, a pointer. Well, Argo, he named him Argo because he said he was lazy. Lazy. Argo means lazy. Okay? Argo would not go out and go wide enough. He was taught on a leash, and he did not get beyond. When you're showing dogs, they don't want that dog to go out there very far. They want him to stay within an area, and Argo was perfection. He stayed right just like you had him on a leash all the time. He went right, and he would just sweep like this, but he'd stay real close. Well, when you're really out hunting chukar and quail and stuff like that, you want a dog that covers a lot of territory if you're really hunting. Argo, he always hunted like he was in a show ring. Up close. All right. Well, he didn't get very many... quail, and he didn't get very many chuckers that way. So he said, Jim, you want this dog? He's a good dog, which he was. Great dog. Perfection. But he was a show quality dog. He wasn't good for the field. So he called him lazy. Argo. Now this word here means slothful. How many of you have ever seen a sloth?
The stupidest animal in the world.
They're just real slow. You don't even know when they're moving. You got to make a mark to see them even move. I mean, when they go, they just go like this. I mean, it just slowly, I mean, that foot just barely just goes. Make sure he's moving. Slothful. That's the word, slothful. What? Brother Randall? It might. By taking 30 minutes to take first breath. Slothful. How about a sluggard? A sluggard. What is a sluggard? All right, a sluggard. A slug. Slug comes from, the word slug comes from slug, or sluggard comes from the word slug. What does a, how many of you ever seen a slug? How fast does a slug go? Going like, moving like a snail. So a slug is a form of a snail without a home. Okay, a homeless snail. All right, a slug. Well, slugs go real slow, snails go real slow, and there are some people that are real slow. Okay? A sluggard, slow, lazy, and Plato said that some of his students were neutrally stupid. Stupid. Just mentally challenged. Okay? Mentally challenged. Now, get ready for that. Have you still got that Bible open over there, brother? Because we need to read this again, see? Mentally challenged. Stupid, slow, slothful, sluggards. All right, new throw, slothful, sluggards, slow, lazy, stupid, ye have become. You have become. Because you won't listen. They would not listen. Ye have become in the hearing. Shut your mouth and open your ears. Boy, I tell you what, when I was teaching in the seminary, some of you have seen that in the classes over the years. We've had people come in here that wanted to teach the class, show you how smart they are. And they could, when they finally were here a couple of classes, they realized that I really knew what I was doing. That's why I'm teaching the class, see. And some of those times when I go down there in the first and second year classes, that was, there were real problems. I used to hate to substitute for a first and second year class. And sometimes I, the teacher would get sick or something, and I have to go teach a class right in the middle of something. And if I go in there in the first year class, the first thing you come, here comes these magpies. You can't teach class. They want to do a takeover on you, show you how smart they are. And I tell them, I said, sometimes you've got to get your mouth out of here before your ears will work. I'd say something like that. And I like that, and then they come, you know. But you know what? The advanced students, they shut up and they listened. They shut up. They were there to learn. I was in a class one time. I went into a, I can't remember what kind of class it was. I had to take this class to finish out my doctorate. It's one class I hadn't taken. So I had to go take this, and one of the students that I'd had in my class, I taught him Greek and Hebrew and different things, you know, as I was teaching, because I was a professor of history and Bible languages. And he was in my class being the teacher. Well, I was sitting back there in the class. I got in the back of the classroom, way back in the back, so I wouldn't be bothering him. And I sat back there, and I was just taking notes and everything, you know, because I had to pass this class, see. I mean, this was my student, but in this class, he's the teacher. So I'm sitting back there, and every 10 words, he says, Brother Phillips, is that so? I got him after class. I said, Brother, you don't have to ask me if it's okay every few sentences. You said, it's okay. You're the teacher and I'm the teachee in this class. I said, I'm just another one of the students. I look back there and act as if I'm a first-year student here. Because you're the teacher here today. I'm the learner and you're the teacher. He still had a little problem with that. But it got a lot better, and he got a little more brave. But when he started out, if he'd get out on some questionable thing like that, he said, Brother Phillips, what do you think? What about this? And I'd say, well, you know, whatever, you know, and I'd try to make it short. They used to tell me, too, KISS, keep it short, stupid. Which he'd get up to do something. But anyway, these people have become hard of hearing. They didn't want to listen. They wanted to become teachers. And that's what the problem was. They wanted to be teachers, and they were not good learners. 5 and verse 12. We started a little bit late, so I'm going to go ahead and try to get one more verse in. Kai, dar, opholate. Wait a minute, let me start again. Opholontes, ene, didaskaloi, dia, tone, chronon, pollen, krene, ekete, tu, didaskane, himas, tina. See, if we didn't do this verse here, the last one wouldn't have made any sense. And my illustration wouldn't have made any sense. Okay? And for indeed, Kai there is indeed in this one. This is just like yes, like in the last verse. See, it actually can be used that. For indeed, ought. Instantly, or constantly, that is, owing. Constantly being ought. Nominally plural masculine, present participle, active, ophelo. Okay? It means constantly owing, or ought to be, ene, present infinitive active, teachers. All right? You ought to be teachers. All right? You ought to be teachers. Because, or but, the time again need ye have of the to teach you someone. There is a need for you to be taught by someone when you ought to be teachers. Brother Randall, are you over there still? Have you got that book there? Now read 5, 11, and 12 together. 5, 11, and 12. Huh?
We only covered half of 12 so far.
Okay. I think that that... Is that 12 or is that 13 over there? No, it's 13.
No, you don't have 13.
I don't? Yeah. Well, I have 5, 12, and 5, 13 here in mind. What do you have? No, well, this is 13 over there. That next one is.
I only have 512A and 513B.
Okay.
So I'm missing a page.
Well, I probably wrote A up there when it shouldn't have been, so it should be just 512 and 513, okay? I made a mistake. I did it. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Okay, I told you. You write 10,000 pages of Greek and see if you don't make a mistake. Here and there, okay? That's a mistake, okay? All right, 5, 11 and 12, Brother Randall.
Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teachers...
You keep on ought to being teachers.
Ought to be teaching others. You actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word.
All right.
You have come to need milk, not solid food.
All right. Now let's go back. For indeed, you ought to be constantly... It should be. Constantly you should be. You should be teachers, all right? You should be teachers because by this time, but again, you have need for someone to teach you. And then let's look at the next verse. Ta, stoike, tais, arkais, ton, logion, tu, theu, kai, gegonate, creon, Ekontes, galactos, kai, u, stadrios, and trophes. Alright, now we have to get this verse to finish our thoughts. Alright? We got to finish our thoughts with this one. And this is verse number 13. In your book up there, would you please erase the A and the B? Alright? That is a mistake. Huh?
That's not what I have.
Oh, really? Is it, what is it? Is there a 13? Let me see your printout. Okay.
You have a 12A and B.
Okay, a 12A and 12B. You know what they might have? You know when they took this book apart when they printed it. And they might have lost a page out of it. Okay, that we might have lost part of that page. Okay. All right, because we got for every the one needing milk, him is a baby. For a baby he is, a speechless baby he is. So we did lose a verse, part of a verse there, okay? We'll try to get that one to you so you can stick it in the book. I guess they lost mine.
When they did the book. You're right, Brandon. Thank you. We have one lost verse there, okay?
So now let's get over here to verse 13. The elementary teachings. You have need to be taught by elementary teachings, rudiments, basic elements. That word stoicheia. See that one there? Stoicheia. That means elementary teachings from the beginning of the oracles of God. We need to go back to the Old Testament again and find out what all of those things stood for. You people missed the boat. You missed the boat. Okay? You missed the boat. The oracles of God, and ye have become in need having of milk and not of stereos. This our word steroids comes from this. What is steroids? Steroids. Huh? What do steroids do? Huh? It builds your strength back. If you sometimes if you go to a doctor, you're catching a cold, you've got an infection or something, they'll give you a steroid shot because it makes you firm again. It makes you well again. Okay? It helps your body get well. It helps it to be strong. And we're solid, a solid food, prophase. All right? The Latin word is sterilis right here, and we get our word. By the way, the German word is star. And steroids is our English word right out of this Latin, and the Latin comes out of the Greek. All right? Stereos in Greek, sterilis in Latin, and German is star. All right? If you want to look that word up, it's on Thayer in page 586. And then prophase is food. Prophase. Like the word prophase. Okay? Prophase is food. So there we have those verses. Now, 5 and 14 is where we'll start next week. What is the date?
12.
The 12th. Okay. All right. So we'll start here. Do you have any questions?
So Isaiah chapter 42 would be a reference for the
yes.
Elementary teachings.
Yeah. Let me go back and give you the last. I forgot to give you the cross references to the last two ones. Okay. 5 and 12 was Galatians 4:3. Hebrews 6 and 1, Acts 7:38, 1 Corinthians 3 and 2, 1 Peter 2 and 2, and then number 13, 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 14:20, 1 Peter 2 and 2, Genesis 3:15, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and what was the other one in
Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 42. All right. These are all cross-references to this one. All right. So I will start in 5:14 next week. And I'll see if I can get you a page for the other one. All right. I hope this is a meaningful study. You learned some good words tonight. What they mean. And that Amplified Bible, can you see how valuable that Bible might be? It explains the Greek. It explains the very same words that you have here. All right. Are you ready to go out and do something eternal this week?
Yep.
All right. You ready? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. All right, Brother Brett, would you lead us in prayer?
All right. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you for this great night and for the great meal. That's right, I ate it in front of everybody. But we ask for everyone to have their blessing and for God to bestow it on all of us. And thanks for Jim to have this great knowledge to give to us. So he provides us with all this information for all these people and all these questions people have. And we thank him for that. And we thank the Lord for giving to us. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget these 15th.